Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon text comes from Malachi 3. We read, "Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention to them and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Please be seated. What is this distinction between the righteous and the wicked? In this text, we can gather that the distinction is made between those who serve God and those who do not serve him. In verse 14, his people have said that it is vain to serve God. They ask the question, how does serving God benefit me? Where is my cut in all of this? What's my profit? What's in it for me? They are testing God. They are questioning his faithfulness. We see another example of God being put to the test in our gospel reading in Luke. We read, two others who were criminals were led to be put away to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The Son of God is being tested. He's being mocked and abused. They test his faithfulness to his Father's will, his faithfulness unto death. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Their words show their allegiance to the world. They do not serve God, but instead they beat and mock him. They ignore his promises. They find no profit in serving the so-called king of the Jews. So instead, they hang him on a cross. What's in it for me? This is a question asked in Malachi. What is the profit of keeping his charge? We wonder these same questions all the time. When a friend asks us for a favor, even when we say yes, we are always asking ourselves, what's in it for me? We can't help it. We are fallen, we're sinful, we're selfish. We always expect some sort of profit from our actions. Our profit from doing good things is a feeling of pride and maybe adoration from others, and pretty soon that feeling becomes the motivation for our good deeds instead of simply loving your neighbor. We test our neighbors when we say, "If I do this for you, then what are you going to do for me? What do I get in return?" We are all guilty of this. Instead of loving our neighbor and being obedient to the law of God, we are disobedient and despise our neighbor. We ignore the law of God, and therefore we test him. The world ignores the law of God as well. It tells Christians that they are fools for following some made-up deity. They tell us that there is no profit to be gained by following God. He doesn't exist. If God existed, then we wouldn't have all these problems. We would all be rich and happy. How can you believe in a God that allows evil to exist? What do you gain from following him? What's in it for you? In Luke, we find our answer. One of the criminals who were hanged at the who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." This thief seeks personal profit from his relationship with this innocent man next to him. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the promise given to his people. This is the distinction between the righteous and the wicked found in Malachi. This sinner on the cross does not test God. He does not seek to profit anything from God. He does not join the other thief who is seeking to be saved from his punishment by pleading with God. Instead, this thief on the cross rebukes his fellow criminal, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." This thief recognizes that he is guilty. He shares the same punishment as the other thief. He recognizes that Jesus is innocent. This is the distinction. He does not ask God, "What's in it for me?" He does not ask Christ to remove him from the cross and spare his life. He simply asks Christ to remember him in his kingdom. This thief knows that the profit from his sinful deeds is death. Christ, in his infinite mercy, turns to him and says, "Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." The promise found in Malachi is fulfilled. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. A book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him." This thief on the cross is spared by the Almighty Christ. His name is written in the book of remembrance. What's in it for him? The answer is the promise of paradise, which was given from the lips of the bloodied Christ. He is forgiven of his sins and will join Christ in his heavenly kingdom. This is the same promise given to you. Even though we are guilty of our sins and deserve nothing but death, we are forgiven by the atoning blood of Christ. We read in Colossians 1, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This is our profit. When the world asks, "What's in it for you? What is your profit?" you can answer, "The love of Christ and his forgiveness are my profit." He has called you out of your sin. He has covered you with his blood and washed away your sins through baptism. He has sustained you with his body and blood through the Lord's Supper. He has mercifully called you to his kingdom. He's provided you with family and friends in this congregation to love and support you. He enables you to come to his presence every Sunday and hear his word. He sustains you. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Even though the world tests him and mocks his name, he still loves and cares for his creation. He passes every test we throw at him. And through his faithfulness, we are saved. Even though we are sinful and selfish, Christ forgives our sins. When we test God and ask, "What's in it for us?" he gives us an answer greater than we could ever hope for. "For those who fear the Lord, this is your prophet. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And in Malachi, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Our profit is eternal life through Christ's death. Amen.